You're listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
You're listening to the Rainmaking Podcast, and my name is Scott Love. Thanks for joining me on the show. If you're in the business of getting business through rainmaking, then this particular episode is going to be interesting and helpful to you. How long does it take for you to build a relationship with a prospect? Well, you might be able to build that in a shorter period of time than you think. And we're going to be talking about that with our guest, Rick Watson. We're talking about trust compression and then also the concept of edification and how those can help you build relationships with people. Now, Rick is in the professional services area of financial services, but he's also the author of A Firm Worth Building, a blueprint for advice-giving professionals. By the way, I've read that book. I'd highly recommend it. We're going to put that in the show notes as well as Rick's bio link and other information about him. So make sure you check that out and connect with Rick directly. As always, this show is sponsored by Leopard Solutions, Legal Intelligence, Suite of Products, Firmscape, and Leopard BI. Push ahead of the pack with the power of Leopard. And now here's my conversation with my friend, Rick Watson. Thanks for listening. Hey, this is Scott Love with the Rainmaking Podcast. Our guest today is Rick Watson. And today we're talking about a unique concept in business called trust compression and edification. Rick, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Super excited to be here.
Yes. And let me start with a plug for your book, A Firm Worth Building, Running a Better Professional Business. For everybody that's listening, we're going to put a link to where you can get Rick's book in the show notes. And I'm starting with this just because I'm a fan. There are concrete tactical ideas that I took away by reading this. And there's some things that we're going to talk about on our show today. So let me just start with that and kind of tee that up and then get into what we're talking about with trust compression and edification. And first, Rick, let me kind of ask you this. What's kind of a working definition? What exactly does that mean?
There are different topics. So trust compression is the concept of compressing the amount of time it takes for someone to trust you. Mm-hmm. Right. So humans are built in a very interesting way where it's the number of interactions, not the length of those interactions. Mm-hmm. That's how our brains work. So when you know that, a lot of times professionals try to expand the amount of time that they're going to spend with somebody because it's more efficient for them. It's not, if what you're trying to do is to build relationship, it's not more efficient from the client's perspective.
Yeah.
And edification, I think, was the other idea that you mentioned. That's a way of being able to make referrals, give referrals more efficiently.
Okay, good. Well, I can see how those two interrelate. So let's talk first about the trust compression. And as you know, being a practitioner of a professional service, it's all about earning that trust from our client prospects. And kind of elaborate on that more. What is there any sort of avenue that we can get to where we can accelerate the development of that trust between people that we really want to get to know?
So we work with all sorts of different law firms, accounting firms, and whatnot, right? Financial advisors. We come at it from the financial advisor standpoint. And in that world, a lot of times what we do is we'll meet with somebody. The industry is set up to meet with somebody twice, right? Mm-hmm. So you meet with them first, you get an idea. It's an hour and a half long. And then they do another hour and a half long. The second meeting is about solutions and that sort of thing. What we did is when we realized this concept, we started doing them 15 to 20 minute appointments through Zoom. And we were able to build much greater trust because we would make those meetings more frequent. So the way we do it is we'll do two to three appointments in a week. So quick little hits, people remember more, and then we go on to something else. And every time their little brain thinks, was that in a good interaction? Did I learn something? Do I remember it? And then if the answer is yes, then the amount of time that they're building with you or the amount of trust they're building with you for the amount of time invested ends up being a lot shorter. So trust compression is a really important idea. And I think every group, a law firm, could do the same thing. They could think about, instead of making it the most efficient for them from the lawyer's perspective, let's think about how we can make it more efficient for the client in them remembering the concepts that we're doing, and those short little 15 to 30 minute meetings work a lot better.
Yeah, that's interesting. Was that surprising to you?
It was really surprising. And one of the things that I think the number of times I've met with somebody is maybe, you know, I'm in the first 4 months. I will have met with them more times than they will have met with another professional in, say, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And what that does for you is it means that you don't have to prove your salt every single time. You don't have to create your whole, they trust you. With whatever comes out of your mouth, they're pretty much, okay, so we need to do that. And that happens because of more frequent interactions.
So tell me, what are examples of these interactions? And was this something that you then would strategize and be deliberate and intentional about setting those interactions up with people
absolutely.
That you want to
get to? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, Scott. So yes, what we did is we took apart our appointment process and broke it into component pieces. So for us, for example, the first thing we do, we flip things on its head because we were very intentional about it. So we started with risk testing in the financial advisor space. That's usually the last thing that someone does.
Risk testing. Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's like, well, if this happens, what would you do? And if this happens, what would you do? Yeah. The idea there is that it's something that is a step in a financial planning process. So what we did was we just started with that first. And the reason is because it's the least scary thing that I'm going to talk to somebody about. So we're building those little steps one at a time, one little block at a time. Too many advisors or too many professional advisors of some sort have a tendency to start with the most complicated thing right in the beginning. And so we want to make those steps really easy. So somebody just goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. And they build that relationship.
Yeah. And so you mentioned these interactions. Like how long are they? 15 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that?
15 to 30 minutes, depends on what we're doing. We'll tell them that in advance and it just clips along. So we'll tell them up front. The way this works best is if we do these in the same week, for example. So the first two, I want to do like two a week, couple of days. I want you to digest what we've talked about. I'll review what we just talked about in the next meeting and then say, you're good? Yeah, I'm 100%. I remember everything. Let's go to the next step. And so at every step, I have an excuse to go back, review the last step, and then go forward to the next step.
Yeah. Do you get pushback from people about going to the next step at all?
Well, I mean, candidly, if they're going to push back in that first step, then I haven't blown 2 hours in these appointments, yeah, right?
Right.
So it's more efficient from, I mean, we started out trying to make it better for clients. The irony is it turned out to be better for us because instead of having 3 hours, an hour driving to go see them, you know, well, 3 hours for each appointment, an hour driving to go see them or whatever it might be, an hour in the appointment, an hour driving back. Now I've got 30 minutes into this appointment. Yeah. And it's really set up for a web perspective. So it works really, really well in that environment.
So what happened that caused you to change? Was this with COVID?
It was funny that you asked that because we were doing this prior to COVID, about 2 to 4 months before COVID started. I just happened to hire somebody who was all about taking processes apart. And so he followed me around for 2 months, listened to every single conversation I had. And then we sat down and started breaking those conversations up and saying, look, can I outsource this piece to one of your staff? And that kind of gets into edification, which is another idea, but the ability to keep me at the point of the sharp point of where we're going versus I'm doing the entire process. I'm only doing the entire process because I'm going to be there for an hour and a half. But if I broke it up, could I have gotten that information another way and exposed somebody to the rest of our firm, which makes it less about me and more about the entire value proposition that we're trying to do?
And I think another benefit I think they like it when a team is supporting them instead of one person, if they get to see other people also. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. In fact, it's funny, trust compression and edification both work with this idea. If you think about it, the Christmas Carol, novel or the...
Oh, Dickens.
Play. Yeah, Dickens. That's what I was trying to say. The Christmas Carol is really, I'm going to be visited by three ghosts, right? Well, we kind of kid sometimes with clients. In fact, I did it yesterday. I said, I'm the ghost of Christmas past because we'll bring other people in. And what allows that is both segmenting your process through trust compression, but also what does that is the ability to have other people in that meeting. And that's that whole concept of edification.
Okay, great. Good. So let me keep on the trust compression thing because I think there's some real value here that I'm kind of picking up on. And I wanted to find out more about the person that you hired to kind of learn about your process and follow you. Was that an employee of yours? Was it a management consultant, a coach? Who was that you hired to help you with that?
I found somebody who was very outgoing. We ended up making them into a partner. eventually. And he came from a marketing background, from an MLM background, and from running businesses background where they were. And so it was very different from our business.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
those insights of how do we make this widget spin faster and more efficient, very entrepreneurial. It was very helpful.
Yeah, that's interesting. So how did you actually pick apart the process? What were the things that you did to kind of see where you could make these changes?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, we listened to the process. I think anyone should be able to sit down and lay out their process, right? What am I trying to achieve in each meeting? Yeah. And we just simply separated those sections out. We call them waypoints. I need, before I go from this part, I need to get this in the person's head first. Mm. Then I can go to the talk to the next person. If you were doing estate planning, the first thing you might want to tell them is, who are even the parties involved? Why does this even exist? There's a bunch of things that you could do. So you separate it into its component parts because you obviously have a waypoint you're trying to get to. You're not just talking. And then we could tighten up, once we knew those waypoints, we could really tighten up the conversation around those. And if you have 15 minutes to make a point, and each point that we're trying to do in our process is built around, what did they get from it? Yeah. So I can tell them in the beginning, what I'm going to teach you is this. And then at the end, you're going to walk away better for it. Is that right? You asked me, how do you get someone to go from one step to the next? It's because we've already outlined the process. They know our four-step process. We outline in our very first meeting. Then we say, you're going to get this out of it. And at the end of that, if they get that out of it, they go, this is awesome. They want to sign up for the next step.
I love it.
And we schedule that next step in that first, each step gets scheduled at the end of the next one.
I like that. And a waypoint, I was looking this definition up. It's a stopping point on a journey.
Yeah.
Were there any other parts of your process that you looked at? Like, were there any choke points or things like that that might have slowed things down?
So complicated things like financial planning for us, right? That's a longer discussion. You can't break that up. It is what it is, right? So we segmented that off into its own step. But that is a slower part. And I'm going to put those steps at the end, not at the beginning.
Got it. Okay.
The reason is because if somebody doesn't make it to the end, then I haven't wasted a bunch of time with them.
Yeah, right. Right. What was something that surprised you the most when you started seeing that this is our process, we made this change and it helped us compress trust? And you saw, I mean, that, I think that's a real revelation. Was there anything else that really surprised you when you started looking at
I think, well, the whole thing that you could even do that, that clients are less interested in the amount of time and more interested in the frequency, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was surprising. But I also think to me, it just shakes me all the time. There are most of our clients today in our firm, we never meet them in person, which I think is a trip. And I mean, to get somebody on the East Coast, we're on the West Coast, to get somebody on the East Coast we've never met to transfer over $3-5 million. That it's still to, and it's 6 weeks after we've met them the first, you know, we talked to them the first time. I think that is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that exists anywhere else. And it's because of this concept of trust compression.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's really interesting. And this is really insightful. I know in my business, I recruit partners with global law firms. Sometimes I'll get lucky and I'll do a merger, one firm into another firm, and they've got a lot to lose. So I have to build that trust with them. And I think that's the whole key. And one concept I've been thinking about more recently is really digging deep into why do people trust you? So I think this is just a really interesting topic. So let me talk about the other topic we had teed up, which is edification. What does that mean exactly, Rick?
So edification is something that we all theoretically should be doing, which is speaking well of each other, right? So what happens, however, is that we tend to undercut each other, and it happens so easily. So there are two aspects of this, okay? There's external and internal. External is, I want to refer a client to an attorney. If I send that to the attorney, I can say, I've got this guy I want you to talk to. He's an attorney. What I've done, or an estate planning attorney, for example, what I've done without meaning to is I've commoditized that attorney. Because now I've just labeled them as an attorney, as an estate planning attorney, and there's 100 other estate planning attorneys. What I should have done is told a little story about them. I love Mike. Mike's awesome. He's an attorney. We've been working with him for years. I trust him implicitly. And a funny little thing about him is he's a big fisherman. And boy, don't get him started talking about salmon because he's right. Well, if I'm talking to someone who's already interested in fishing, then they're going to be like, this is red meat for them. And there's a little story. So now if somebody else introduces, their friend introduces an attorney to them, that's just an attorney. But my guy actually has something about them that's unique.
Okay, good, good.
Well, so I'm giving them a push. I'm putting my credibility in the line. The reality is, in professional introductions, the opposite is mostly true. That is, that we tend to undercut each other. So they'll say, I want you to talk to Mike. Mike isn't really good about returning phone calls. So if he doesn't return your phone call right away, just keep trying, okay? Because he will get back to you. Well, you've just cut their legs out for a month. And the reason we do that inadvertently is because we want to be in charge of the relationship. You know, it'd be the same thing. I would imagine siblings, right? They tend to like they love each other until they compete with each other, and then they don't love you. Then and they're like fighting. And I think that we do the same thing in professional relationships. So one thing we teach is this concept of if you're going to introduce somebody, you give the client a push.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, right? You put your reputation on the line and say they are amazing and awesome. And I think if you can do it in person, that's even better, right? Mm-hmm. Internal edification is when you use your staff the same way. So I can say, here's my staff person. They'll take care of you. Oh, that's great. You gave them no push. I can say, I want to introduce you to Julie. Julie is salt of the earth. She is amazing. And I tell this story all the time. If you gave her $1 million in cash and put it in a suitcase, gave it to her for 2 years, you could come back and it would all be there. That's the kind of person she is. Whoa, they love them, right? They think they're awesome. And you do that, that's how you grow your business. Because if you're the center point, then you've created an inability to grow past a certain point. Because who wants to talk to anybody less than you,
yeah, right?
But if you build the people up around you, another way to do that would be to say, look, I'm really good at what I do, okay? I'm amazing at certain things. But I'll tell you, what I'm best at is introducing you to the people who are even better. Whoa, you've just opened this door to all these other relationships, right? Accountants, attorneys, financial advisors, that I'm really good at finding the right people to talk to. So now you're no longer even an attorney. If you were coming at it from the perspective of the attorney, now you're a problem solver.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Rick. Let's say if it's an email introduction, you don't have a chance to call them. You've got a referral. How would you do it via email?
Well, so email is one of my least favorite ways of doing it. But if I was going to do it by email, I would still introduce it to the person verbally, or sometimes I guess you could. So verbally, and then I would send an email confirmation with the person's, I would copy the person on an email and I'd say all sorts of nice things about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, it's one of the first things that we ask when we get a referral. I'll say, what did they say about me?
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
The client will be like, well, they said you're a financial advisor. If they said that, that's a problem. And now I need to go back and coach that person. If they said, oh, he just said you're just amazing and they love you and, you know, I've had a long relationship and, oh, great. Then I know my referrals are actually coming in right. We teach our professionals that we deal with to ask the same question. But to your point, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Rick.
Your point
question
on the email, if I was going to do that, I guess you could do it in an email. You could say, you know, Mike or Scott is an amazing person. We love dealing with him. And I really think he'd be a great person to help you. I mean, I suppose it's just not as strong as it's personal.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Well, I can see when you have this sort of method, when you push it, as you mentioned, those people you refer opportunities to, they'll want to reciprocate, won't they?
Well, they will. But I think the world is full of non-reciprocation. And part of the reason is because we don't trust each other. Edification is the first step in getting someone to trust you.
Yeah.
Right. So if you've just introduced them very strongly, you might have to do some coaching. I think we do a lot of coaching to get somebody to actually make that mental shift, because even then they kind of still commoditize you.
Yeah, right. Well, I like how this definitely puts yourself out there. Is there any risk associated with doing this? Have you ever had this where you've referred someone?
I think the biggest risk is the person doesn't do a good job.
Yeah.
And, you know, first, you shouldn't refer somebody unless you know they're going to do a good job and you know what their process is, which is why one of the things we do is, hey, I want to send referrals to you. I figure you're going to send referrals to me. I want to go through my process with you so you understand it. But secondly, eventually somebody will disappoint you because that's life.
Yeah.
And then you just say to the client, wow, amazing. You know, he's so good all this other time. It's hard to grasp that you had a bad experience there. And we'll use this for coaching for them to get it to be better. And I think mostly people just want to be heard. So, you know, if you got more of those, you're not going to continue to make those referrals.
And let me ask you this. Let's say somebody who's listening to this wants to get more referrals. What do you think some things are that they should keep top of mind if they want to become more referable?
So the most important thing about getting referrals is to be referable. And I think people really miss that. So an attorney sends me his webpage and it's horrible. I mean, you're making it difficult. Like, I wrote a white paper. Here's my white paper. And it's 27 pages long. No one's going to read it. I think making yourself doing good quality work, having happy clients and being clear about what you do. So it's really just crystal clear in everybody's mind why you're so valuable. That makes you referable. So I would say that's the first thing. And then the other thing is using quality and building these quality relationships. So we build networks. I think everybody's had this idea that you're supposed to go find an attorney, an accountant, and a financial advisor, and those teams will work together. What we've done is we built a company called the National Referral Network.
Right.
And the National Referral Network is that concept on a national scale. And the advantage there is we can kick people out when they don't do things right. So when somebody is not doing identification properly or whatever, we can drop them from that system. And so that keeps everybody, and we can do background checks and all that stuff for them. You know, we've checked them out before they're part of the network.
That's great. I want to hear more about that in a second, Rick. But let me ask you this. If somebody's looking to make some changes in these two areas that we talked about in terms of being able to compress trust, and also edification. If you could kind of distill this into three action steps, what would those action steps be?
Let's see. Trust compression. I think that what you've got to do is you've got to be very mindful, conscious of what your process is currently. And then, so that's the first thing. What is it? What segments could be sectioned out separately? Yeah. And some of them you don't even have to do. So that'd be another step. And then pushing through, I think, as you go through this, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to go through those steps and still feel uncomfortable for a bit until it becomes part of who you are. But then you can brand around it. I think on the edification front, I think it's being very conscious about, mindful of how you are doing it. And it's so, I think for myself, I struggled for a long time. I could accept people edifying me, but it was really hard for me to edify other people. And I think you have to, like, so every 10 minutes in a conversation with somebody, I want to find a way to edify them.
Yeah.
It's gone by. It hasn't been a little bit of a while. And I go, you know, Greg made a great point right there. And I just think we need to stop and appreciate how good a point that was. Wow. You've just built Greg up. And that's, you know, as opposed to interrupting each other and de-edifying. I think the other thing, second step there is think about how you're de-edifying somebody. Maybe you shouldn't be referring to them. If you have to say they don't return phone calls, maybe they're not even the person you should be sending work out. And I would say probably the third thing I would say is most important there is edify your staff.
Yeah, that's great leadership too. I think that kind of builds an environment, a culture where people want to stay when they know that they're getting that kind of recognition.
That's right. Most firms, there's a whole section in the book about culture. Most firms are they ignore culture.
Right.
They don't even know what you're talking about. And so I think that is super important. And I'm sure for you, it's way easier to recruit from a company that has great culture than for one that doesn't.
Right. And Rick, tell us about your offerings, about the offerings and services that you have that your company provides that you'd like for our listeners to know about.
Yeah, I would say this. First of all, if you have questions about any of this, you know, I take calls all the time. I probably twice a week, I've got something. So you can find me in a simple web search at Protection Point Advisors, and you can certainly get a hold of me and ask questions. The second thing is we run a firm, the National Referral Network, nrnamerica.com. And if you're a professional who wants to grow and wants to look at how to grow better, then that's a great coaching system that we've got there, which is there's a no-cost program, free program, there's a paid program. But the idea is that you can play with other professionals in a safe sandbox where we've already done a lot of that background for you.
That's great. We're going to put those links on the show notes. So everybody that's listening, go to where you hear your podcast, click on the show notes. You'll be able to get that information directly. We're also going to put a link for your book, which I'd highly recommend, A Firm Worth Building, Running a Better Professional Business. We'll put a link to where people can order that on the show notes also. Rick, thanks for coming on. You've done a great job. I know that there's a lot more that you can share with us, so I'd love to have you back on the show in the future.
Great. Thanks, Scott. It's great.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.